Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We go to the hotline right now. Time to talk a little NFL with Nate Davis, who covers the NFL for USA Today. Nate, how are you tonight?
Good, good. Sorry I missed you there. I'm so engrossed by this Cowboys-Cardinals game.
I failed to mention, yeah, the Cardinals, for you degenerate gamblers out there like me, the Cardinals are leading the Cowboys 14-0 in the second quarter of the Sunday night game. Nate, I was just talking about Khalil Mack a little bit and the fact that we're reading articles about places Khalil Mack could go in a trade, and these aren't just sports talk radio fantasy type of articles. These are real articles about the Raiders possibly trading one of what we think are one of the foundations of their team. The negotiations with Aaron Donald and the Rams are the antithesis of what's going on with Mack and the Raiders. What do we think ends up happening with Khalil Mack and the Oakland Raiders?
I think they end up signing him. I know that the rumors are out there, and I feel like those are often kind of a byproduct when negotiations aren't going well. But you never say never in the NFL. Anything could happen, but. It's just hard for me to believe that you would give up a defensive player of the year, a cornerstone kind of guy, a guy I think is only 27 years old, who's the anchor of your defense and can be for years, and it's going to be the face of your franchise with Derek Carr, I think, when you relocate to Las Vegas. I just think there's too many reasons not to part ways with Khalil Mack, up to and including, of course, that he's entering the prime of his career and has a lot more good time to give you, so... And I just think it sends the wrong message to your team. I mean, the Raiders ought to be the team that are in the playoff mix this year. I know John Gruden kind of, subtweeted him, if you will, saying that the defense still ranked 23rd with him last year. But I can't imagine what it would look like without him. And I just think at the end of the day, this has to get done.
Yeah, what's your overall sense on the Raiders with John Gruden at the helm in 2018?
Well, I think there's probably going to be a little bit of a transition, both as John kind of transitions back into the game after a decade. You don't want to say a decade off. Obviously, he's been a keen observer for many years in the booth, but, it is a different animal having to manage players and manage teams in a different way maybe than you used to under the new CBA and all that. And I think, the players are going to have to adjust to him a little bit. We kind of saw Chucky in full throat the other night after that Connor Cook interception and everything, but how ultimately this works. I mean, John, on a personal level, is a great dude. You hope that it works out for him and that, all the time he's bided and kind of waited to come back pans out. And so obviously, the Raiders, given their investment in him, are banking that it's going to work. But, I think this probably feels like kind of an 8-8 kind of year for them as things kind of settle in and he implements a new system and they get used to him. And then hopefully in the future, things take off for those guys.
Nate Davis, USA Today, joining me, talking some NFL. One guy who could get moved, I guess, before the season starts or maybe at some point after the season starts if a need arises with the team is Teddy Bridgewater with the Jets. What do you think, if you had to identify a couple of potential really good trade partners for the Jets with Teddy Bridgewater, who would they be? And do you think he gets moved at some point here imminently?
Yeah, I'm not sure there's a great trade partner out there right now for the Jets, because I think I'm not sure there's any team that has a screaming need for a quarterback or, that wants to give up a trade chip for Teddy Bridgewater knowing he's on a 1-year deal. Yeah. I think the better move for the Jets is to hold on to him and then kind of see what happens around the league, over the next 4 to 6 weeks. I mean, because, in my mind, there are so many teams and a lot of good teams that have really sketchy backup situations. You think of, the Panthers, the Texans, the Chargers, the Saints. I mean, the list goes on. And, as we all know, one of these starting quarterbacks is bound to go down. I think that's the team that if you're the Jets, you kind of wait, hold on to your cards there and see what happens. And then you deal Teddy, and hopefully maybe you can get a fourth or a fifth round pick, maybe even better for a contending team that, needs to kind of hold it together for maybe 6 week or 2 month period until they get their guy back. So I think that's really the best situation that the Jets and Teddy Bridgewater could probably hope for. And then if he plays well, you know, I think there are probably maybe several destinations where he could look to kind of reestablish himself as a franchise guy in 2019. And, you know, particularly look at the teams down in Florida, you know, who knows how the Jameis Winston thing is going to play out with the Buccaneers. You know, Ryan Tannehill is still a big question in Miami. So, you know, I think everyone kind of in the league is rooting for Teddy, but I think the best case scenario is for him to go somewhere for a couple weeks this year, play well, and then hopefully he can kind of parlay that into a second chance, you know, as the guy somewhere else next year.
You raise an interesting point, Nate, about the backup situations for a lot of these teams, because there are teams that are going to be contending where if the quarterback goes out, and I think it's the case for a lot of NFL teams, obviously, if the starting quarterback goes out, the season's over. But we saw the team that won the Super Bowl last year. The starting quarterback went out, possible MVP candidate. They were still able to go on and win it. I wonder if you're Mike Maccagnan, how much of the sales pitch to a team, if it gets to, say, like week five or six and no starting quarterbacks are getting injured, how much of the sales pitch is, hey, look at what the Eagles did last year with Nick Foles, and Teddy Bridgewater might be a better player than Nick Foles is.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're Mike and it is getting close to that trade deadline and you haven't been able to move him, yeah, then you probably try to actively shop him and you look for spots that do have, you know, those kind of holes. You know, you can see where if the Chargers finally get off to a good start, pardon me, and, you know, they're 6-2 or whatever. You know, you probably make a sales pitch to Tom Telesco and say, hey, you know, you guys are playing well. You know, Phillip Rivers, you know, sprains an MCL. Would you rather have Geno Smith out there for a month, or would you rather have Teddy Bridgewater out there for a month? So yeah, you're right. You know, I think you know, for the first couple of weeks, Mike Maccagnan can be kind of in a passive mode and try to let things come to him. But if they don't, yeah, you probably switch to more of an active mode and you know, become a seller and just see if you can get something for a guy that's played really well. And then maybe, I mean, even if you can get a 6th round pick back. You know, I think the Jets have already traded their 2nd round pick for next year in that Sam Darnold deal.
They did. So
there are plenty of needs for that team. I mean, and anything you can get back, I think, is probably, you know, a bonus at this point, given that you signed this guy to a 1-year deal.
Yep. Nate Davis, USA Today, joining me talking some NFL. I'm glad you brought up the Chargers because I looked at your article where you kind of predicted the whole season and how it plays out. And it fits in well with the theme that I have going on tonight, Nate, which is I've asked the callers, give me an NFL prediction that I haven't heard yet. You know, I don't want to hear Packers and Patriots in the Super Bowl or a rematch of last year's Super Bowl. Give me something I haven't heard. And your article predicting the entire season kind of gives me that here. And I say that because you've got the 3-seeded Falcons defeating the 4th-seeded Chargers, the seeds obviously in their respective conferences, in the Super Bowl. I've not seen a Falcons and Chargers Super Bowl prediction yet. And yet, I don't think it's the craziest thing in the world. Tell us how you arrived at that one, Nate.
Well, thank you. I hope it's not the craziest thing in the world. The methodology there was I went through and I picked every game on the schedule, you know, in July before training camp started. Kind of, you know, each team was you know, theoretically as strong as they're going to be going into camp and going into the season. And, you know, things change as collarbones break and coaches get fired and everything else. But, the Chargers, I think they've got all the talent in the world. You know, obviously last year, if they had a decent kicker, they would have been in the playoffs instead of Buffalo. And I think could have made some noise, really some tantalizing talent on their defense. And, you know, the offense, I think, is even better, particularly now that they've got some offensive line help back. Looks like Mike Williams is going to be a factor this year, along with Keenan Allen. So I like that team. And, you know, I think they can do some things. I think Jacksonville is a good team, but flawed. Obviously, and you know, it, like you said, I mean, it'd be easy to pick the Patriots to go to the Super Bowl every year. That being said, a little tidbit for you, the Patriots have never gotten back to the Super Bowl year after they've lost it. So, yep. You know, if that holds the form, somebody else has to go. And then I think in the NFC, there's just, you know, there's probably 6 teams you can make a really good case for a Super Bowl team. But I really do like those teams in the South. I think I had the Falcons and the Saints in the NFC Championship game. But I like the fact they both got good continuity. Good players for the last couple of years. Not the type of teams that bring in a ton of free agents and hope to do well, which is a formula that rarely works. And just casting my lot with those guys. Like you said, it's easy to pick the Packers and Patriots every year, and certainly those picks make sense. But the way I had it coming out was Falcons and Chargers.
Yeah, I think just the last thing on the Chargers, because like I said, you had them as the four seed going through Jacksonville and going through New England to get to the Super Bowl. I'm just curious, like, the, you know, one of the things people are saying about the Chargers is they may have one of the best rosters in all of football, but they play 16 road games because of the venue that they play in and opposing fans inundating that soccer field that they play in. Is there a way, is part of your theory on the Chargers maybe flipping that on its head that, hey, if they're able to survive the regular season, then going on the road for them shouldn't be nearly as big a deal?
I mean, I hadn't thought about it in those terms per se. And, yeah, I realized that there were a lot of Eagles fans out of StubHub Center last year and a lot of other fans that came in. But, you know, you also think about what this team went through last year. I mean, those guys mm-hmm. were all uprooting their lives, moving from San Diego up to L.A. You know, they're all looking for new homes, you know, learning where their grocery store, just all the day-to-day things that added to the upheaval and the stress of a daily NFL life. Now they're all kind of settled in there. And I think that was kind of a big part of their adjustment. I mean, that's over and done with now. And, I mean, home field advantage or not, I mean, this team won 9 of their last 12 games last year after the horrible September. And I don't think anybody in the AFC wanted to see them in the playoffs. I mean, they gave the Patriots a very tough game in Foxborough last year. I think they ended up losing 21-13. Had the ball in the final possession, but you know, the thing that hurts the Chargers every year seems to be they shoot themselves in the foot somewhere along the line, i.e. the kicker, and certainly probably no team in the NFL falls prey to the injury bug as much as they seem to and already have this season. But
yeah,
I think the pieces are there. I think Anthony Lynn is a guy that they're behind, and they got two really good coordinators in Gus Bradley and Ken Whisenhunt. So they've got everything they need. It's just a matter of putting it together as it is for every other NFL team.
On Twitter, you can get him at @ByNateDavis, and you can also read his work on USAtoday.com. He covers the NFL for USA Today. He's Nate Davis. Nate, really appreciate you making time on a Sunday evening. Thank you very much.
All right, my pleasure. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.